If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Today, I'd like to talk about the cross. A lot of churches nowadays have done away with this symbol, the cross. They say it's too offensive. It's not friendly seekers. As the people come in, it's an offense. But I'm here today to tell you that without the cross, we are wasting our time. Because we need the cross. Jesus died on that cross. Some people call this Good Friday, Holy Friday. Some people call it Black Friday. No matter what you call it, it's the most important day in the Christian calendar beside Easter. For it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's what the cross is all about, the shedding of blood. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, and I'll just read a few verses, starting at verse 47. It's funny how Good Friday starts. Really starts on Thursday. Starts with a kiss. Sign of an affection. And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. And going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached out his sword, which we know is Peter. He drew it and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And Jesus says, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat at the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has happened in this place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then the disciples deserted him and fled. Good Friday. And if you read the scriptures further down, you see where he was mocked. He was betrayed. His beard plucked out. I can't imagine the pain of that. The suffering, the whip, the cat of nine tails that was made especially to pull the flesh off your back. The slapping of his face, the spitting in his face, the crown of thorns, the beating him with the fist. And then finally, on the cross, his hands and his feet nailed tightly to the cross, so he could not escape. And as you read the story of Good Friday, it seems pretty depressive. I can't imagine what the disciples were going through. The man that they put their trust in for 3.5 years, they walked with him, they saw him raise the dead, they saw him heal the sick, open the blind eyes. And now in their minds, I'm pretty well, they thought, wow, we have wasted our time. The one we thought was the Messiah is not really the Messiah. He's no king. He has no crown. He wears a crown of thorns now. It says in verse 56, it says, and they all deserted him, leaving him there to face the accusers alone. And even though Peter said, I will die with you, Lord, and at first it looked like he was willing to die, he pulled out his sword and cut off a servant's ear, but Jesus said, that's not the way this is going to go. For God has a plan. And tonight I'd like to talk about three main things that I get from the story of Good Friday. The first thing I receive from this story is that God always has a plan. His plan never fails. It says in verse 56, but this has taken place that what is written of the prophets might be fulfilled. God's plan was put into action, and there was nothing that could stop this plan. And I'm here today to tell you that God has a plan for your life and my life. And our job is to receive that plan and walk the way God wants us to walk. And to do whatever He asks us to do. For God's plans are always the best. It looks like this is out of control. The crowd, the swords, the clubs, they grab Jesus. It looks like things are not going well, but God had everything in control. And sometimes in our life, things seem to be out of control. We lose our job, or we get sick, or we fall down the stairs like I did last week. I'm here today to tell you that God is always in control. Never has He failed. And as you read the story of Good Friday, you see time and time again that God is doing exactly what He said He was going to do to fulfill the scripture that the prophets had wrote hundreds of years ago. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says these words, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever, that's you and that's me. And how could that be? Because the precious Lamb of God, the one perfect sacrifice, died on that cross. He shed His blood for that sole purpose, that we might have eternal life. Jesus, the perfect Son of God. He didn't deserve this. He made no mistakes. He always did the right thing at the right time. But He did it that we might have eternal life. For there was no other way besides the way that God had planned. The shedding of the blood. That's why John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. No one else did John the Baptist ever address that to. Only Jesus. Take away the sins of the world. For the people that despise Him, for the people that could care less about Him, He died for the entire world. And because of that day, that Good Friday, I realized no matter what happens in my life and your life, God has a plan. And our job is say, Lord, I'm walking with you. And when you look at the life of Jesus, he walked with God. He was constantly saying, Father, not my will, your will be done. So what is the second thing that we can kind of glean out of this story called Good Friday? The second thing I see is obedience. Christ's willingness to go to the cross. Philippians 2:28 says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. If you study torture, it says that the death on the cross is probably the greatest, hardest way to die. And that's the way Jesus died, on that cross, where you actually suffocate because you no longer can pull yourself up to get in the air. And I can't imagine the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through for you, for me, for this world. But he did it. And I'm so glad that Christ obeyed God. For just a few days before this, God directed him to go to Jerusalem. And remember last week when we had Palm Sunday? Hosanna on the highest. Palm branches. People taking off their cloaks and laying it down so the dust would not get on the Messiah. Yelling, hail to the king. Now you hear the song, crucify him! Crucify him! I can't imagine, as Jesus stood there and he heard those words, knowing that he was 100% innocent and he didn't deserve to die. Even Pilate tried to release him. Pilate knew that this man was innocent. He didn't deserve to die. But the crowd. And I often wondered, if I was in that crowd, would I be the one yelling, crucify him, crucify him? Or would I be one of his disciples that fled and ran off like a coward? I'll never know. I didn't have to be there. John 6:38 says, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Obedience. Jesus went all the way to the cross for you and for me. For it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, it says these words, for just as though the disobedient of one man, Adam, many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. The moment you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the moment you bow the knee and you said, Jesus, come into my life, save my soul, that moment you become righteous and right standing with God. No longer would you have to worry about when you die, where do you go? You know, just like the thief on the cross, that when you take your last breath, whenever that may be, I know that the moment that happens, I will be in paradise with him. Not because of what I've done, not because of my righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness. And when God looks down at me, he sees the blood of Jesus on me, and he sees no sin. He sees no shortcomings. He sees no fault. He sees perfection because I'm covered under the blood of Christ. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your real and personal Savior, whether you're watching online or you're here in the congregation, what are you waiting for? Don't put it off. We're not promised tomorrow. And I can guarantee you that the moment you do that, the light that Jesus shines into your heart will be the greatest reward ever. It will lift you up, and you'll know without the shadow of doubt that you will fear no evil, you will fear no death, for you are walking with the Savior. Amen. So what's the third and final thing that we see in this story of Good Friday? We see God's love. His great love that he has for you and for me. Jesus said, "Do you not think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Around 72,000 angels would come down in one moment. And how many angels would it take to destroy the whole earth? I would say one. But Jesus never called to the Father and said, "I can't do this. It's too difficult. Take me home, Father. These people are not worth dying for. These people despise me. These people hate me. These people lie about me." Jesus didn't say those words. He just loved them. And I'm here today to tell you, if you feel unloved, look to the cross. A reminder of what Jesus did for you. Only love could do that. I could never do that. I can guarantee you right now, if I was Jesus, which I'm not, and I could call down 12,000 legions of angels, I would have. I would have. I know me. If there's a way out, I'm going to take that way out. I'm going to call the Coast Guard, the Army, the Navy, the Marines. I'm calling everybody I can. But Jesus never cried out. And the reason is because he saw you and me in the future. He saw that we were worth dying for, even though most likely we're probably not worth dying for. And Jesus died for the guards that beat him. He died for the chief priests. He died for Pilate. He even died for Judas. When Judas turned him over to the crowd, Jesus called him my friend. I don't think anything hurts worse than being betrayed by a friend. But Jesus still could call him friend. And Jesus died for all mankind, you and me. And I love what Jesus said while he was on that cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." What kind of love is that? It's unthinkable. It's unfathomable. It's unmeasurable. What a love. That's the kind of love our Jesus has for all of us. And we need to share that love with a lost and dying world. Because the world is looking for love. They're looking for that kind of love. And believe me, they'll never find it anywhere else except through Jesus. I know from experience. Nothing satisfied my soul until I gave my life to Him. Nothing. Nothing. But the moment Jesus came in, He filled that void in my heart, and I can say without a doubt, I have no desires except His desires. For He had filled me with His love. So as we celebrate this Good Friday, let's remember that God always has a plan, that Jesus is always obedient, and that God loves you so much, so much, you can't comprehend it. For it says in Isaiah, which was written about 700 years before Jesus was even born, says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, afflicted by God. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisements of His peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. What a Jesus. What a Savior. And you know the funny thing about God's love, even for those that still reject Him, and there's a lot of people that reject Jesus, He still loves them anyway. And His love will take them all the way to the grave. He'll never stop loving them. So as we approach the Resurrection Sunday, I want each of us to be able to say these words that are found in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We all need to be able to quote that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So when you go home tonight, you read that. Say, Lord, can I say those words? Have I really been crucified by You? Do I give up my life to follow You? We have to be willing to pick up our cross and follow Him. For He picked up His cross and He carried us through.